BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. We're going to be having a news roundup day here today, in that tomorrow, the Friday before Mother's Day, we do like to have a Mother's Day tribute. So we'll be giving you opportunity, Lord willing, tomorrow to call in with a special tribute to honor your mother on Mother's Day as that approaches here this coming Sunday. And so just want to alert you to that, to be preparing for that tomorrow, and certainly to be a part of that special broadcast. So today we're going to be having a news roundup day today, and it is National Day of Prayer. And I'm so reminded throughout history, Bill Federer even has written as an American Minute about President Washington after the Whiskey Rebellion in western Pennsylvania declared a National Day of Prayer January 1st of 1796. President John Adams declared a National Day of Prayer and Fasting in 1798 and 1799 with a threatened war with France. James Madison, who introduced the First Amendment in the first session of Congress, proclaimed two National Days of Prayer and a National Day of Fasting during the War of 1812. President Tyler proclaimed a National Day of Prayer and Fasting in 1841 when President Harrison died in office. President Zachary Taylor declared a National Day of Fasting and Prayer in this 1849 during a cholera epidemic. President Buchanan declared a National Day of Prayer and Fasting to avert civil strife. There was when President Lincoln was shot, President Andrew Johnson proclaimed the National Day of Prayer in 1865. 1901, when President McKinley was assassinated, President Theodore Roosevelt declared a National Day of Prayer. President Coolidge, a National Day of Prayer at the death of Warren Harding. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt set aside a day of prayer and issued a proclamation at that time as well. Well, it was officially adopted, and there's other acts as well, but it was officially adopted by the 100th Congress of the United States that recognized across the country a resolution signed by the Senate and the House and the President, reading apart that the first Thursday in May each year is set aside as a National Day of Prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, 1863, Abraham Lincoln said, "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord." And even on this National Day of Prayer, we are reminded from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Can we remind you today from Crosstalk, not only on this National Day of Prayer, but to make prayer as common to your body as breath is, to be praying to God, to pray without ceasing. There is so much we need to be praying about. And even as we go through a litany of news stories today to see how badly this nation stands in need of revival, how badly we need, to stand in the matter of prayer for our nation and our national leaders as well. So those comments on this National Day of Prayer, and I wanted to bring that to your attention as we get started on the news roundup for today. Well, certainly there are some international issues that are going on. The WesternJournal.com reporting that North Korea has responded to remarks made by President Joe Biden last week by saying Biden has antagonized the country. In his address to Congress, Biden said that the nuclear programs of North Korea and Iran presented serious threats to American security and the security of the world, and spoke of dealing with the two nations through diplomacy as well as stern deterrence. "Well, it is certain that the U.S. chief executive made a big blunder," said Kwon Jong-gun, a North Korean foreign ministry senior official. He said that the statement from the president clearly reflects his intent to keep enforcing the hostile policy toward North Korea, and the country will be compelled to press for corresponding measures, and that with time, the U.S. will find itself in a very grave situation. Matter of fact, an unnamed foreign ministry spokesperson said criticizing North Korea's record on human rights was a provocation, indicating that the U.S. is girding itself up for an all-out showdown That, according to Reuters. WND.com telling us U.S. military forces in Iraq recently were targeted for the first time with Iranian drones. It was just the latest in a series of attacks carried out against American troops in the country, many of which have involved volleys of small rockets, the Middle East Forum said, and it highlighted the growing threat of Iranian drone attacks in the Middle East. General Kenneth McKenzie, who heads U.S. Central Command, told the House Armed Services Committee recently that for the first time since the Korean War, listen to this, we are operating without complete air superiority. Central Command has been arguing that better air options are needed to predict and defend against such drone swarms. The bad news is that Iran's drones are getting more deadly and their range is increasing as well. Some of them now carry warheads, and Iran says they can travel up to 2,000 kilometers. That's about 1,242 miles. Coming to us from WND.com, just as President Biden lowered the level of priority the U.S. considers the Middle East, China is ramping up its efforts to reach trade deals and much, much more with nations there, according to a new warning from Judith Bergman, a distinguished senior fellow at the Gatestone Institute. The communist regime now is working to expand vastly its economic and strategic partnership with the Middle East nations, allowing it to gradually take over the region without creating tensions with the U.S. or the West. Mordecai Chaziz, who wrote China's Middle East Diplomacy, the Belt and Road Strategic Partnership, identified that program as how China is seeking to collapse Western American dominance in the region peacefully. It was Wang who confirmed to Al Arabiya during his visit to Saudi Arabia that China already has such agreements with 19 Middle East countries. WND is reporting also China expert Gordon Chang reports that there are 60 surveillance cameras watching 30 tables and their occupants at a restaurant in Vancouver, British Columbia. Yes, China's social credit system is invading North America. That's significant because the images they capture are fed directly to China as part of more than 600 million cameras that nation's communist regime has installed and operates to monitor the behavior of everyone. Beijing will at some point be able to assign a social credit score to just about everyone on the planet, Chang explained. There are consequences for low-scored individuals. The purpose of the system is to allow the trustworthy to roam everywhere under heaven while making it hard for the discredited to take a single step. Ryan Pan, as the restaurant manager, said the cameras are there to people track for China's social credit system. North America, folks! The facility is part of a chain of nearly 1,000 such restaurants worldwide. Why did Beijing select Ryan Pan's restaurant for such intensive collection of information? Well, for starters, it is in British Columbia's most important city for China, Vancouver. Further, that restaurant is near the facility serving the Huawei Technologies executive. China Communist Party wants to know that everything that happens everywhere. So far, the Western democracies do not seem to be putting up much of a fight. China's social credit system, folks. Yes, we've heard about it in China, but now in Canada, invading North America, how long before it is spotted here within these United States? The Epoch Times is reporting that Chinese leader Xi Jinping personally directed the communist regime to focus its efforts to control the global internet, displacing the influential role of the U.S., according to internal documents, government documents recently obtained by the Epoch Times. In a January 17, 2017 speech, Xi said the power to control the internet has become the new focal point of China's national strategic contest and singled out the U.S. as a rival force standing in the way of the regime's ambitions. Yes, Chinese leader Xi Jinping is laying out the plan to control the global internet, and that's been revealed through leaked documents. Gatestone Institute, hardly a spot remains on the planet in awe that China does not consider up for grabs, and that includes the North and South Poles. In 2018, China issued its first Arctic policy paper that is entitled China's Arctic Policy, and with a straight face declared itself a near Arctic state, wanting a polar Silk Road. This road would create a new shipping route linking Asia and Europe via the Arctic as part of the Belt and Road Initiative, a gigantic development infrastructure and investment initiative that seeks dramatically to enhance China's global influence by making countries worldwide increasingly dependent upon China. Greenland plays a key role in China's plans for the Polar Silk Road because the autonomous territory, a part of Denmark, is estimated to have the world's largest undeveloped deposits of rare earth materials, in addition to uranium and substantial oil and gas reserves believed to lie off its shores. Last year, China produced 90% of the world's rare earth materials. In its new five-year plan for 2021 through 2025, China reaffirmed that it would continue work on its Polar Silk Road and participate in pragmatic cooperation in the North Pole. CBN News reporting the Chinese government taking further steps to remove religious materials from the hands of Christians as the communist regime strives to eliminate the faith community. Francis Liu of the Chinese Christian Fellowship of Righteousness advised that some Christian WeChat accounts, including Gospel League and Life Quarterly, are no longer offered online, International Christian Concern reported. Additionally, Bible apps have been eliminated from China's App Store, and hard copy versions are no longer able to be purchased online. The only way for Christians in China to download a Bible app is by using a VPN. Also reported from China Aid, at the bookstore at Xiamingtang Church displayed a number of books, but they're from the governance of China, written by Xi Jinping, as well as the Chinese Communist Party's Little Red Book. Matter of fact, they cannot find Christian books on the shelves, but everything is there, all these socialist books, and pulling these, eradicating Christian books from the country. In other news, WesternJournal.com reporting President Joe Biden is cultivating leadership that bears a stark resemblance to America's Depression-era President Franklin D. Roosevelt. Of the many similarities between the two, none strike a greater historical continuity than their respective proposals aimed at changing the structure of the U.S. Supreme Court. Yes, it seems he is modeling FDR, folks, gauging support for court packing or lack thereof. The White House in April established this Presidential Commission on the Supreme Court of the U.S. The most significant blow to Roosevelt's court-packing platform didn't come from within the halls of the legislature. Rather, it came from the pen of then-Chief Justice Charles Evans Hughes. Hughes was jurisprudently among the court's swing individuals. The Chief Justice at that time penned a letter to the committee detailing the facts of the matter that were requested. Reading the letter, Senator Burton Wheeler said the Supreme Court is fully abreast of its work. There is no congestion of cases upon our calendar. This gratifying condition has obtained for several years. We have been able for several terms to adjourn after disposing of all cases which are ready to be heard. An increase in the number of justices of the court, apart from any question of policy which I do not discuss, would not promote the efficiency of the court. Hughes' letter continued, there would be more judges to hear, more judges to confer, more judges to discuss, more judges to be convinced and to decide. The present number of justices is thought to be a large enough so far as the prompt, adequate, and efficient conduct of the work of the court is concerned. So just as FDR tried to pack the court, so is Joe Biden trying to pack the court. Then Supreme Court justice spoke out on it, and we have Supreme Court justices speaking out against this and warning regarding this aspect as well. You're listening to a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more stories here on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has the Bible been confirmed by archaeological discoveries?
In many ways it has, Chris. Many ancient artifacts have been found, and in each case they confirm the general framework given in Scripture. The Bible claims to be a book of true history, and we would expect to find historical evidence and general agreement with it. But we wouldn't expect everything to be found. Much of the Bible took place long ago, and documents would be rare. But with many turns of the archaeologist's spade, we find details that support Scripture. Yes, we can be confident that the Bible is literally true, and even better than that, it's spiritually true. The evidence we find in history enhances our confidence in its spiritual claims. It all started back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on BCY America. In light of the fact that we are planning to have a tribute to moms tomorrow on Crosstalk, we're having a news roundup day here today, keeping you abreast of so many issues that are going on. You no doubt have heard the news that Facebook has upheld this social media giant's decision to suspend President Trump's account. And so Donald Trump has launched a website to communicate more freely. It's called DonaldJTrump.com/desk, and it contains a list of tweet-like statements from former President Trump in recent weeks. A matter of fact, New American reports that his communications platform is from the desk of Donald J. Trump. The news site allows him to post comments, images, and videos, but does not allow users to comment, though it allows users to share the content to their own social media pages. His spokesman, Jason Miller, clarified that the newly launched communications platform is separate from Trump's long-awaited social media platform, which, like the communications platform, was also teased several months ago, saying we'll have additional information coming up on that new front in the very near future. WND.com, an interesting article here, in which President Joe Biden has been accused of manipulating the results of the 2020 census for political gain. A letter dispatched by 17 members of Congress noted that they were referred by the Census Bureau to the White House for their questions about dramatic variances between the estimates of population released just months ago and the final results released this week. The census is supported, or supposed to be bipartisan. The White House would not normally have a role in it, but the letter demands from Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo answers to questions about whether there was any political interference in the final numbers. The letters to the representatives need to have answers about the methodology and also the role of the Biden White House that may have played in releasing those numbers, especially as results differing from evaluation estimates released more months ago. In ways that benefit blue states over red states. The jury's still out on that, ladies and gentlemen. Washington Examiner reporting House Republicans could vote to remove conference chairwoman Liz Cheney as soon as next week. Sources told the Washington Examiner the increase in battle Cheney survived a move to oust her earlier this year after she voted to impeach then-President Donald Trump, but a new round of anti-Trump comments as well as her foreign and domestic policy positions have put her further at odds with the GOP conference. A Republican leadership source told the Washington Examiner that she's out of sync. She's not helping Republicans win back the House. The vote could happen as early as May 12th, the GOP source said. WJLA reporting that the Biden administration's U.S. Department of Defense has denied a parking permit to the American Veterans, or AMVETS, to stage their rallying point at the Pentagon. They have been doing this, folks, for 32 years. It's a tradition, a Memorial Day weekend, for Rolling to Remember. Now AMVETS will try and secure RFK Stadium as an alternate site. AMVETS Executive Director Joe Schinelli told 7 News I-Team that he received a call from the Pentagon saying, a gentleman at the Pentagon told me that after careful consideration and our permit application was denied, he said considerations involved the continued spread of COVID-19 in the region and the nature of our event being that we are proposing a large gathering for an extended period of time. Interesting news coming out of Minneapolis area as the NewAmerican.com has this story. A juror in the trial of former cop Derek Chauvin has and not only misled the court about his knowledge of the death of George Floyd, but also lied on the questionnaire that jurors must answer before the trial. The truth about Brandon Mitchell surfaced in the last few days when a photo of the juror in a pro-Floyd t-shirt surfaced online. The photo was taken at a rally for Floyd in Washington, D.C., that Mitchell falsely said he did not attend. Multiple news reports have disclosed the latest means that Chauvin, convicted of murder and manslaughter and a drug in Floyd's death, has even more grounds to appeal his conviction. A juror had his mind made up before he entered the courtroom, despite his promise of impartiality. Spencer Brown also capitalizes on this at townhall.com. In the photo, Mitchell can be seen wearing a Black Lives Matter hat and shirt with Martin Luther King Jr.'s face and the Get Your Knee Off Our Next title on it. According to organizers at the National Action Network, the protest was instigated from the protest movement that has risen up since the police killing of George Floyd. The Get Off Our Next Commitment March in D.C. will be a day of action. We'll demonstrate our commitment to fighting for policing and criminal justice. In addition, members of George Floyd's family addressed the crowd and included Brandon Mitchell. Epic Times reporting Bill Gates, former CEO of Microsoft, and one of the richest men in the world, said in a tweet that he and his wife, Melinda Gates, after 27 years, are getting divorced. After a great deal of thought and a lot of work in our relationship, we've made the decision to end our marriage. Over the last 27 years, we've raised three incredible children, built a foundation that works all over the world to enable all people to lead healthy, productive lives, the statement said. They did not provide any other details about the split. They posted this on their Twitter accounts, saying, "We continue to share a belief in that mission. We'll continue our work together at the foundation, but we no longer believe we can work together as a couple in this next phase of our lives. We ask for space and privacy for our family as we begin to navigate this new life." New American is reporting the Department of Homeland Security considering working with outside firms to surveil extremist language by Americans online, according to a report. DHS is discussing a plan that would allow them to circumvent limits on intelligence gathering. Federal agents are only allowed by federal law to scroll through public posts and social media and cannot use burner accounts to follow private accounts or enter private chat rooms. However, the reported DHS plan would enlist private cybersecurity firms to engage in these practices. New York Times reporting that Senator Chuck Schumer quietly considering trying to use a fast-track budget maneuver to legalize millions of undocumented immigrants should bipartisans talk on providing a pathway to citizenship fall apart. They would allow the measure to pass the evenly divided Senate with a simple majority, 51 votes, shielding them from a filibuster and the 60-vote threshold for the filibuster issue, using a process known as budget reconciliation. Okay, let's go to LifeNews.com. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo insisted during a Monday press conference that he did nothing wrong in the handling of nursing homes during the coronavirus pandemic and would not resign from his position. He insisted that the former president politicized nursing home policies during the pandemic and unfairly blamed Democratic governors for cases and deaths in nursing homes. He called it a political investigation started by President Donald Trump. He said it was all our fault, and then that had this political Department of Justice start an investigation, and they were a political Department of Justice. There's no doubt about it. I did nothing wrong, period, the governor added, and I'm not resigning, and I'm doing my job every day. Western Journal reporting the Biden administration affirmed its support for what's known as a global minimum tax, part of its push to make corporations shell out more in taxes. This coming from both Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen and now this past Sunday, the Council of Economic Advisers Chair Cecilia Rouse extolled the virtues of the plan in the context of paying for President Joe Biden's domestic spending. CNSNews.com, in a dramatic twist in diplomacy, Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has announced that Riyadh is seeking a good and special relationship with the kingdom's longtime nemesis, Iran. The Sunni and Shia countries have long been at odds, both seeking to be leaders in the Islamic world. But after Iranians attacked the Saudi embassy in Tehran in 2016, tensions rose to new heights. So why extend the olive branch now? Some analysts have pointed to signals that the U.S., which last month affirmed it would withdraw troops from Iraq according to a as of yet undetermined timeline, is lessening its commitment to the Middle East, thus giving countries little choice but to negotiate with one another. Western Journal reporting two Bucks County, Pennsylvania women now face charges after authorities say they filled out mail-in ballots with their deceased mother's names just before the November election, facing charges with one count each of violations of provisions relating to absentee and mail-in ballots, misdemeanor of the third degree, it's reported. Western Journal also telling us that the former Florida governor has announced he's running against DeSantis as a Democrat. Yeah, Charlie Crist served as the state's governor from 2007 to 2011, announced on Twitter he's going to run for governor once again. Epoch Times telling us that Governor DeSantis has signed a bill banning COVID-19 vaccine passports, also announced an executive order that suspends all local pandemic emergency mandates effective July the 1st. From my Northwest, Governor Jay Inslee says you should expect to see more places asking for your vaccination card for entry. The governor said last Thursday that the state would provide guidance to places and businesses in Washington state that could have vaccination requirements by mid-May, which could include some cruises, sporting events, performing arts, and even school graduations. The cruises will not be allowed to enter Canadian or Mexican waters. It's unknown yet if they'll travel to other states. It's a small example of the benefits of getting vaccinated, the governor said. The governor's office clarified to KIRO Radio that the state would only be providing guidance for businesses, but not a mandate. Here is an interesting story. A columnist has revealed that a school in Washington state is offering a huge credit toward its graduation requirements to students if they take the COVID-19 shot. Isn't that amazing? This is WND.com. This feels coercive, like a form of bribery to push kids into a decision that they may not want to make, wrote Jason Rantz in MyNorthwest.com commentary. At issue is a junior-senior high school. This is Chimicum. Requires students to finish 55 hours of community service in order to graduate. But one community service option caught a parent's attention, getting the COVID vaccine, end of quote, and says students who get the COVID vaccine and submit paperwork proof will earn a whopping 25 hours toward the community service requirement. He noted that the pitch is appealing. The vaccine process would take about 30 minutes, yet students receive a premium on getting the vaccine, earning 25 hours, nearly half of the required hours to graduate for one or two shots. High schoolers may jump at that chance, end of quote. WND.com telling us new research from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention show that fainting has been reported among individuals getting the Johnson & Johnson COVID shot. In early April, CDC received reports of clusters of anxiety-related events after administration of Janssen COVID-19 vaccine from five mass vaccination sites, all in different states, the federal agency noted. The agency also reviewed data from the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, found that fainting took place at a rate of 8.2 episodes per 100,000 doses. According to the CDC's own findings, fainting after the J&J shot was 164 times more common than after receiving the flu shot. The Paso Robles Daily News says the California Highway Patrol has responded with a statement regarding an accident that occurred on Highway 101 northbound in Atascadero. According to the officer, a 73-year-old driver was driving, had an unknown medical event. Per his wife, he went blank, started holding his chest. He started braking. His wife steered the vehicle to the shoulder off the road. A semi-truck clipped the Nissan as it was slowing. The wife forced the Nissan's gear into park, came to a stop. The driver transported to Twin Cities Hospital. According to the California Highway Patrol incident report, or the record there, the driver's spouse reported that they were on their way home from receiving a second dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Some are calling these vaccidents. And by the way, Pfizer CEO, the CEO is now saying that U.S. Pharma's firm plan take-at-home pill for treating COVID-19 could be available by the end of this year. That's right, a pill for treating COVID could be available by the end of 2021. Optimistic that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration would approve Pfizer's vaccine also for children 15 and under in the near future. I've got some more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk. James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's News Roundup Day here today. Again, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll have a special, wow, a wonderful program, a Mother's Day tribute, and we hope you'll be able to join us for the program tomorrow. Let me share some more issues that are going on this National Day of Prayer, a reminder to be praying for our nation and the many things that are going on. By the way, another from townhall.com, another pro-President Joe Biden union just took its rank and file members. Sorry, guys, you're all fired. The United Mine Workers of American Union endorsed Biden's energy policies. Yes, you read that right. The coal mining union bosses have embraced a bill that outlaws coal mining. As you recall, the Pipefitters Union endorsed Biden for president. He repaid them with his first act, killing the Keystone Pipeline. So now we have the Pipefitters Union against pipelines and the Coal Miners Union against coal. And for what? So that these miners can be given Biden welfare checks or mining jobs, which typically pay $75,000 a year, can be replaced with solar panel installation? Wow. By the way, Breitbart reporting about spying on nations, the Green Enforcer, MI6, spying on nations to ensure that they abide by the climate change pledges. Yeah, that's what the chief, one of Britain's top spy chiefs has said. And this is one of those unbelievable, if I had a What in the World program, this would be on it here today. We have had Tom DeWeese on this program talking about the war on beef. And, folks, it is continuing, and some of the lengths that they're going to is unbelievable. Now, beef recipes no longer will be posted by a top cooking site because of climate change. That's right, they're not going to post recipes that contain beef. Epicurious announced it will no longer be going to feature new recipes featuring anything from our friend the cow because they've cut out beef. For any person or publication wanting to envision a more sustainable way to cook, cutting out beef is a worthwhile first step. Epicurious David Tamakin and Maggie Hoffman wrote in a piece, almost 15% of greenhouse gas emissions globally come from livestock and everything involved in raising it. 61% of those emissions can be traced back to beef, cows, and 20 times less efficient to raise than beans, and roughly 3 times less efficient than poultry and pork. It might not feel like much, but cutting out just a single ingredient, beef, can have an outsized impact on making a person's cooking more environmentally friendly. Beef won't appear in new Epicurious recipes, articles, or newsletters. It will not show up on our homepage. It will be absent from our Instagram feed, the announcement continued. And then they said this, we think of this decision as not anti-beef, but rather pro-planet. I'd like to hear what some of you ranchers think about that issue. By the way, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty has sued the Biden administration for race discrimination in the Farmer Loan Forgiveness Program. They filed the lawsuit in federal court challenging the unconstitutional race discrimination on the American Rescue Plan's provision to offer loan forgiveness based on racial categories. It was filed last week in the Eastern District of Wisconsin on behalf of 5 plaintiffs from Wisconsin, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Ohio. Each would have been eligible for the federal loan forgiveness program, but because of their race, they were not eligible. The American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 provides billions of dollars of debt relief to socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers, but the law's definition of socially disadvantaged includes explicit racial classifications. Farmers and ranchers must be Black or African American, American Indian or Alaskan Native, Hispanic or Latino, or Asian American or Pacific Islander. Other farmers, white farmers, for example, are not eligible. This is illegal and unconstitutional. The U.S. Constitution forbids discrimination by the federal government against any citizen because of his race, WILL reports. They represent 5 farmers from 4 different states, one of which is Adam Faust, owns a dairy farm, Calumet County, near Chilton, Wisconsin. He's a double amputee. In addition to milking about 70 Holstein cows, He farms 200 acres for feed for his cows, but not eligible because he is white-skinned. Western Journal, Florida, heads up. Florida Keys residents are outraged as scientists from British biotech company Oxitec are planning to release 500 million genetically modified male mosquitoes along a large part of the Keys in an attempt to kill off an invasive species of mosquito responsible for transmitting deadly diseases like Zika. Oxitec plans to place boxes full of genetically altered eggs throughout the trial areas. After water is added, the bugs will fly and mate with the females of their invasive species in the area. About 24 people gathered at the Key Largo to protest the planned experiment in February. They have failed in the Caymans. We have proof of that, they said. They have failed in Brazil. We have proof of that, protester Megan Hall said. They failed in India and Malaysia and Panama. We have proof of that. And says, I find it criminal that we're being subjected to this terrorism by our own Florida Keys Mosquito Control Board. She added, we have everything to risk, nothing to gain, and it's all for Oxitec's bottom line. California. California, some 76,000 inmates, including violent and repeat felons, are given the opportunity to leave prison earlier at the state as it aims to further trim the population of what was once the nation's largest state correctional system. More than 63,000 inmates convicted of violent crimes will be eligible for good behavior credits that shorten their sentences by one-third instead of the one-fifth that had been in place since 2017. That includes nearly 20,000 inmates who are serving life sentences with the possibility of parole. Breitbart telling us that women's groups are expressing alarms that San Francisco's district attorney, Chase Bowden, has decreased the rate at which domestic violence charges are filed, allowing many suspects to go free and potentially putting women and children in danger. Guess what? His nomination was backed by billionaire left-wing donor George Soros in the 2019 election. Son of two members of the Weather Underground, regarded by the FBI as a domestic terrorist organization, and mentioned that his parents were getaway drivers in a 1981 armored car heist that led to the deaths of two police officers and a guard. Well, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, the women's advocates are alarmed by his tendency to release domestic violence offenders, including a man who was arrested on suspicion of killing a seven-month-old baby and was released. By the way, not all blue state cities are looking to defund police. City of Sacramento is looking to increase police spending by almost 6%, reported the Sacramento Bee. Here is the U.S. birth rate falling to the lowest point in more than a century, the CDC is reporting. Fell 4% last year. USA Today tells us the largest single-year decrease in nearly 50 years, according to a government report that was released yesterday. Let's see. This coming from CNSNews.com, in addition to nominating an open lesbian Filipino woman to serve as a number two at the Air Force, President Biden has now nominated a transgender woman, and I put that in quotes, that would be a biological male identifying as a woman, and also has appointed a lesbian to serve in two other prominent positions now at the Department of Defense. Daily Signal telling us that there are college track and field athletes. Madison Kenyon has been forced to compete against biological males on five occasions. She has lost every time. Losing unfairly to someone who has natural advantage is frustrating and unmotivating, she said. She's a sophomore at Idaho State University. At a press conference after a court hearing on the legality of Idaho's Fairness in Women's Sports Act on Monday, Alliance Defending Freedom argued in the defense of the state's Fairness in Women's Act before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Disney is targeting kids as Homosexual Pride Month approaches. From LifeSiteNews.com, Disney, the former go-to company celebrating the wonder and innocence of childhood, is now peddling toys and clothing for kids awash in rainbow colors, as well as pro-homosexual and pro-transgender messaging. The countdown to Pride Month is on with a colorful array of Pride products available now, announced Disney on Twitter. Plus, the Walt Disney Company is giving funds as part of our ongoing commitment to organizations around the world that support LGBTQ plus communities. Folks, let's open our phone lines here today. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. By the way, Joe Biden has canceled the declaration that President Trump signed into law with 34 nations, saying that there is no right to abortion. LifeNews.com, a very troubling story. It is very, very troubling. I need to make you aware of this, though. There's a new video for Center for Medical Progress exposing a very grisly experiment at the University of Pittsburgh that involves scalping five-month aborted babies and implanting their scalps onto rodents. As part of this humanized mice. And what's more, the number of experiments using aborted babies in parts of the university funded by U.S. taxpayers, National Institutes of Health, and in particular Dr. Anthony Fauci's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Office. It was found in the investigation. I'm not going to go into more comment there. And also the Netherlands, by the way, euthanized a record 6,938 people, including 218 mentally disabled patients in 2020, up 9% from 2019. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. We're going to begin with Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Mark.
Yeah, my comment is this. Just recently, Andrew Cuomo was under pressure to resign for sexual allegations made against him. Interestingly, he's making his defense being totally legitimate in regards to the elderly nursing home deaths. He's trying to justify that. Apparently, the woman had a change of heart, I'm guessing, because I haven't heard any follow-up on that one. And it appears he's off scot-free on both counts. Not bad if he can get away with it.
Yeah, and that's what appears. If he just digs his heels in, the pressure is off. And, there should be enough, just the nursing home scandal alone. The nursing home scandal should have been enough to, for people to put the pressure on to remove him from office. That's a personal opinion in that regard. But you think about the lives of people that have been taken in nursing homes, putting COVID-positive people in with non-COVID situations, and it's been a real mess.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Let's go next to Don in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air.
Yes, I just discovered an article in the Sword of the Lord publication on April 23rd. It speaks of the Pope pontificating. Hello? The Pope pontificating Mary as the bridge to God. And, of course, we know our Bibles, 100% heresy. It was March 25th. The Pope was on Twitter of this year. And I want to read a verse to you about that Peter said, 2 Peter 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even here is denying the Lord that bought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious or wicked ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, putting Mary up and Jesus down.
Well, thank you for that, Don. The scripture tells us that there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Let's go to John in Colorado. You're on the air, John.
Thank you, Jim. I just got something from NRA today on the 7-gun ban proposal that Biden has come up with. And then one of the things, and I'll just won't take long here, I'll just read you hurriedly. It said the truth is the bills have already been introduced in Congress that will shock you to the core.
Yeah.
And they become the law of the land.
Yep, and we've done a full program on that here on Crosstalk in recent weeks.
But there won't be another person in Western Colorado able to hunt or anything. So.
No.
But, Jim, I appreciate your time here and keep up the good work.
Thank you, John, for your call from Colorado. We're up against a break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls here on a News Roundup Day on Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. My friend Alex Newman recently interviewed Dr. Peter McCullough, and we played the audio clips on radio and TV. This medical doctor is warning that the vaccine everyone's taking is for the original virus, not the other 14 strains now running around the world. He also advised that normally when a vaccine has the deaths connected to it that COVID has, it's pulled. In fact, we are now, as a broadcast date here today, at over 3,500 deaths, and that's on the extremely underreported side. But did you know that if you have 50 deaths in a normal product of vaccines, those are pulled off the market? In 1976, the swine flu vaccine was pulled after just 25 deaths. Most of these deaths are occurring within day 1, 2, or 3. He also reports that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was pulled off the market due to blood clotting, but that the blood clots caused by the other vaccines are even higher. Stay tuned.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and addressing many, many issues here today. We're going right back to the phone lines here on Crosstalk on this News Roundup Day. Robin is calling in from Monticello, Kentucky. You're on the air, Robin.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I would just want to say some things about methanol. I didn't know if people knew that, well, they said, let's say cows put out a lot of methanol causing the global problem. But do they know that SpaceX, the spaceships that go into space to launch all our satellites, use methanol and oxygen? That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your call. Jerry in Middle Village, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to make a comment about white farmers not being helped. I'm in an area where there's a lot of poor white farmers who really break their back, A lot of farmers out there know what I'm talking about. Their kids are getting up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning working in the farms before they even go to school, like shoveling the gutters and stuff like that. And they're being mocked and made fun of because of the way they spell. But these kids are breaking their back 3, 4 o'clock in the morning before they go to school.
Yeah.
And I think that's ridiculous that white people, that is a color, that is a race. And that's discrimination against them. And that really burns me up. And I'm Native American. And I see how these guys break their back hard. I worked with some of them once in a while.
Yeah.
And it's really bad. White people are a race. White is a color. And these people, they're made fun of in school. And they go because of the way they smell. And they don't realize it takes to get up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, clean barn stalls like this, before you go to school.
Yeah. So,
and
so
that's my comment.
Okay. And so you say it should not be based upon one's skin color.
No, not at all, because white is a skin color.
Mm-hmm.
And I see these people breaking their back before they even go to school.
Thank you so much, Jerry, for your call from Middle Village, Wisconsin. And as a Native American, realizing that this program from the Biden administration is discriminatory. I'm thankful for farmers. I'm thankful for the work. And he talked about them getting up early in the morning and milking cows. And I think of the ranchers and the crops and the beef industry, all that's going on. We're thankful. But folks, the thankfulness isn't based upon skin color. All of them, have value in what they provide for America. And certainly the programs that are there and put in place should not be based upon one's skin color in that regard. Our number 800-733-9829. Jason is calling in from Dodgeville. Jason, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you came across a story. It may not be new, but kind of seems to be newly discovered, about the CIA recruitment videos on their website, where they're saying that the qualifications of gender, sexuality, and their mental or psychological state apparently is more important, seemingly, than their intellect or education.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Again, we're trying to fill important positions by quota rather than by ability and background and one's expertise in the area. And something's wrong with that, Jason.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call here today on Crosstalk. Richard is next in Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Richard.
Yeah, about the vaccine. I've heard that state for testing it and using it. They use baby aborted babies. Is that true?
In the Johnson & Johnson has been used with the vaccine. If you go to it is, I believe, Children of God's website, a pro-life website, they have a full listing of the vaccines, which ones were used in testing using aborted fetuses and which ones have used that in the vaccine itself.
Oh, wow. That is just terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. I was hoping that I got some incorrect information.
No, I mean, you'll find that out. And I think it's Children of God for Life or COG for Life. .org or .com, you might be able to find that there. Billy in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
For life.
Hello, Billy.
Yeah.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
So, hi. My name is Billy. I'm calling from Milwaukee. I'd like to tell you that I am an African-American male from Milwaukee, and I was listening to the conversation regarding the program that Biden put in place to help black farmers, and the sound bites concerning the fact that it was racist against white farmers. And what was kind of disheartening to me about it is that prior to this program, there was a study done by the federal government, and in that study, they discovered that black farmers were going out of business and losing their farms because the banks would not give them the same loans and financing that they gave to white farmers who were comparably in the same financial situation. And so it took for the Biden administration to coming out of this study and this finding to put forth this program. And what's sad to me is that prior to, nobody was saying anything about how many black farmers were losing their livelihood. And it seems like that the conversation should be a two-way conversation, that in the process of mentioning where it might be wrong or illegal to pass legislation based on race, but it's also sad that it had to come to that in order to level the playing field.
Okay, thank you, Billy, for the comments. I will say this, that certainly the matter of people losing their farms, you also check out the number of white-skinned individuals who lost their farms and who were not qualifying for loans or going to the big corporations. So it goes beyond skin color in that regard. But every skin color except Caucasian are part of this Biden program, and that's the issue that was being raised. Thank you for your comments. We're out of time here today on the program. For further phone calls, I just wanted to close as well. As you've heard so much coming against police officers today, I just came across a story as well, a family in Pleasant Hills, Pennsylvania, where they had a little gal that had been born, had a heart condition. As they were driving to the emergency room, They were rushing because their daughter was not breathing. A police officer came alongside and helped them, and giving the necessary CPR to bring the airwaves, let that air flow back into that little baby's life and save that baby's life. And certainly a commending here to the police officer that was involved in doing just that. Officer Kristen Matrison, and what a joy to see that positive story taking place. Our time is gone. National Day of Prayer. Let's continue to be in prayer for our nation. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.